City Council will come to order. If you could all please have a seat. Before we begin the official proceedings, we have a very special guest that we would like to recognize and extend courtesies of the chamber to make a few remarks. I'm very honored to welcome to City Hall the president of and the ambassador from Micronesia. And if you'd please come forward, Mr. President. We're very honored, Mr. President, to have you here today, and this helps to underscore the close ties between Portland and Micronesia. On behalf of Portland, I'd like to welcome you. We're very glad that you're here.
Thank you very much, Mayor. And members of the council, your staff, friends, ladies and gentlemen, I have here with me, right next to me, is the ambassador to United States, Stereo Takasi. And I also have Senator Roger Morey, member of our FSM Congress.
Welcome.
Deputy Ambassador James Knight, he's also placed in Washington, D.C. And the Secretary of Foreign Affairs, Lauren Robert. I believe some of members of our delegation are still coming, or they may be stuck in the traffic. But on our behalf, I want to thank you for receiving us. After attending the 67th United Nations General Assembly, we took a tour to meet with pockets of FSM citizens throughout the United States. We have visited Missouri and Kansas, and then your neighbor, Washington, and then we're here in Portland. We're especially honored to have this opportunity to express on behalf of our people who are residing here as their second home away from home. Most importantly, I want to express on their behalf and on our behalf our deep appreciation for making our citizens being part of the community here in Portland, Oregon. I have so many students who graduated or went to school in Oregon in the thousands from the time of the trans territory up to now. And I'm also aware the largest community of FSM citizens residing in Oregon. There must be something special about Oregon that they chose to live here. Most certainly, I can't think of the hospitality that is extended to them here. And so I'm very happy and very grateful that you accept and welcome them to be part of the community. I want to touch a little bit of our relationship with the United States. Federalist States of Micronesia and the United States entered into a compact of reassociation, and it will be, we will have the second, no, let me rephrase that. This is our ninth year of the 20-year term of our compact of reassociation. So we consider the United States as one of our best friends and ally. Under the term of the compact, our citizens are able to come here, live, go to school, work. And some of our young men and women also joined the military. Some of them actually have paid the ultimate price. In short, we're grateful to the United States, especially the state of Oregon, for having our citizens remain here and be part of the communities in Oregon. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're honored by your visit and the visit of your delegation. And we are grateful for the strong ties that we have. Our local community is a source of great strength for us, and the fact that you've come by to visit with them and to meet with us is very noteworthy, and we're very grateful. I've just a small token of hello to the city of Portland, if I could present you with a gift.
So there's some local coffee, locally roasted coffee, and some locally vintner wine, Pinot Noir, and then some souvenirs for Portland. So thank you very much, Mr. President. Very nice. Thank you very much.
May I impose on the council one moment to do just a collective photo of the delegation? Thank you.
So you're right in front of the
SS.
Thank you so much.
So we have here, a few minutes.
All right, Carla, can you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Adams.
Here. We'll consider the consent agenda. Does anyone have any items from the consent agenda that they wish to pull? Hearing none, Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We are going to take some regular items first before we do our time certain. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 1122?
Amend contract with David M. Corey, PhD, PC, to provide additional funds for psychological examinations for the Portland Police Bureau.
So this is a short-term extension, as I described last time I was here at City Council, as opposed to what was on the draft paper, the draft ordinance at that time. Does anyone wish to testify in this matter?
Yes.
Please come forward. Anybody else? All right. Welcome back, Doctor. Please begin.
Yes, I am the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, the chairperson of the Amana Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. To our distinguished male and illustrious members of this august body, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share on this particular issue. Our only major concern is on the issue of diversity. Dr. Corey has had this contract for a number of years, and one of the major goals of the mayor and this city is of the attempt to bring in more Latinos, more Asians, more African Americans in the contracting process. We believe that by doing a long-term contract on this, it sealed off the opportunity for those African American, Asian, Latinos, psychologists and psychiatrists that can bid on the contract. And so we would recommend a short-term contract on this to open up the process and to take a more inclusive initiative of reaching some of the diversity of the population that would reflect the great city of Portland. Thank you very much.
And I've had the opportunity to dig into the issues of back and forth, and my understanding is that we asked for feedback on the draft specs, and we got some. We, at that point, we sent out what was going to be the contract and the date it was going to be let, but we also made a commitment that we would send out the revised contract so folks could circulate it, and we didn't do that piece. Is that correct?
The purchases department sent out the RFP to members of the AMA regarding the draft. From there, I'm not familiar with what the process was after that, because
so Clay Neal in my office informed me that draft was sent out to members of the community, including individuals and AMA. We received, I don't know from whom, some feedback and said that the final would be let on a particular day, posted on a particular day. I had said that we would also email it out to everyone in AMA and beyond the finalized RFP. That piece didn't happen. It was posted on the day we said it was going to be posted, but we didn't distribute it, and everyone's busy, and so you didn't have the opportunity to take that RFP and circulate it with others in the community. So today this is a extension until August 31st, and I'm using this as an opportunity to, since between when we did that original temporary and this, we now have the federal DOJ report, and I'm using the DOJ report information to look at this anew. So again, this is an extension just till the end of August. Sorry, October.
October.
Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. And so we're going to get it back out to folks, and that'll be an opportunity to, and we'll make sure that you get it. I will call you to make sure you get it and others, and that'll be an opportunity to then distribute it to the folks that you had been talking to respond. So,
will this be done under emergency provisions that'll prevent further hearings, or
this always has to have a hearing? Even if it was an emergency, it still has to have a public hearing. But I'll also let you know what the timeline will be for that, just as soon as Clay Neal comes back from a conference tomorrow. So we'll be able to get you the timeline between now and October 31st. I've also been in conversation with the feds related to the DOJ investigation to ask them about best practices on this score, and they haven't gotten back to me yet, but I'll be happy to share all of that and let you know when a new draft will be out and who will be on the selection committee and what the timelines for people to get back their bids. And it has to come back to council, and it has to have a public hearing and a vote.
So this amendment number 9 is in a document that also includes amendment number 7, in which you asked for a time to review the procurement process. And last week we talked about legislative intent, and I was wondering if your legislative intent has been satisfied with regard to amendment 7, which called for the time to review the procurement process for this contract.
I did.
So it's been satisfied?
I'm satisfied. I know where our breakdown was and how to fix that next time. But I still am using this mistake to consult with the feds on any sort of best practices we might not be aware of as it relates to the procurement of psychological testing for applicants.
Can I ask Clay to just give me the date of that passage of that Amendment 7 so I can look at it on TV?
Soon as she comes back. Yeah.
It's already passed, right? Amendment 7, the one about the review.
Yeah. I'm happy to have him call you when he gets back tomorrow. Yep. That was Mr. Hardesty for the record.
Thank you, sir.
Amendment 7 was passed on open. Oh, it doesn't say. You're right. Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I'm still concerned that this current extension is only through the end of this month, and we've had 9 extensions already of this same contract since 2001. So I'm concerned that we'll be out of the room and we'll extend it again and again until we actually revise the RFP and actually make sure that we have a diverse pool. So I'm just kind of, what happens on October 31st if we don't have?
Prior to October 31st, I'll be letting you and council know how I'm going to recommend we proceed. And what will happen between then and my recommendation is I'll be able to conclude my conversations with the Civil Rights Division, DOJ, to see if they have any advice in terms of best practices, psychological consulting services, best practices to make sure that we not only have diversity in our latest pool of recruits is over 40% not white male, so we've had some more recent success, but at the last hearing, you also, someone testified about the psychological diversity and have given what we now know from the federal inquiry, not only about race diversity, but also about sort of psychological profile of the candidate we want.
Thank you, Mayor, because clearly we, just because they're people of color, if they have the same culture, that doesn't change the police department.
And I thought you made that case very compellingly last time.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, does anyone else wish to testify on this short-term extension?
One of those guys may have left.
Okay, thank you. Carla, can you please call the vote on item 1122?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1122 is approved. Can you please read the titles for 1123 and 24?
1123, amend agreement with Portland Streetcar, Inc. for vehicle engineering services related to streetcar vehicles being procured from Oregon Ironworks.
Who's here for?
For the Portland Streetcar Loop Project. Vicki Deedy probably was not expecting this to come up.
All right.
After
then.
The 2 o'clock. And 1124, amend contract.
Rick, are you here? Where's Rick? Mr. Jefferson, could you look for Rick Gustafson out in the lobby? He might be able to help us while you read the second title.
1124, amend contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc. to provide additional professional services for design and civil engineering for the Portland Streetcar Loop project.
And we'll take a moment of quiet contemplation while we round up the proper staff person. Thank you. Oh, it's okay. I have to reprioritize some things to keep the schedule going and making sure we have availability of all the people we need. So we've read the titles for 1123-24, and if you could tell us what council is looking at, I'd appreciate it.
Excuse me. For the record, I'm Vicki Deedy, and I'm the city's project manager for Portland Streetcar. Two items in front of you today, amending contracts with Portland Streetcar, Inc. The first one is for vehicle engineering services related to the vehicles being procured from Oregon Ironworks. It increases the work and adds compensation of $386,229. We've been here before. and when we've had issues with the cars and delays in the production of them. With me is Rick Gustafson, and he can tell you a little bit about it, where the cars are in the whole manufacturing process.
Mr. Gustafson.
Good afternoon. Rick Gustafson with Portland Streetcar, Inc. and Shields Oblitz Johnson. Manufacturing of the production cars, as we call them, are being done by United Streetcar in Clackamas, Oregon. And the first car, 21, is in dynamic testing, which is when it's moving on the tracks. It's on the test track at Oregon Ironworks right now as we speak. And car 22, the second car, is in what we call static testing, testing all the wires and the connections and everything, and will soon be put on the test track. We anticipate the first 21 being delivered to us December 6th. Going into revenue service on December 6th. We will have it delivered to us sometime in late November, at which point we conduct the final tests of the car to assure that all the specifications and safety are met. The firm that is in charge of handling all those tests is LTK Engineering, and that's the reason for the contract here today, is the extended time, and the what we have done is added more time in the production process. As we've had more extended time, we've maintained our 1.5 people from LTK overseeing the manufacturing to assure that each of the component parts are compliant with the specifications.
And I would just point out that we've anticipated that we were going to that this might come up within the project budget, and it is included in the contingency. So the overall project budget has not gone up at all.
And how's the first car off the assembly line operating, Mr. Gustafson?
We have the prototype that's operating in revenue service now.
Prototype.
Yeah, the prototype car was certified for revenue service on September 21st. And we put it into service with the opening on September 22nd. It performed very well on the 22nd. We encountered a problem with it on Monday, which is not a surprise. Got it back into service. And we've maintained the service. It's in operating today. So it's part of our fleet and our operations, which you appreciate our stretched because we operate 11 trains Monday through Friday, and we have 11 trains in our fleet.
Discussion from council. Does anyone wish to testify on 1122 or 1123?
No one signed up.
Yes, Commissioner Saltzman.
So both of these contract amendments are being funded through the project contingency?
Yes.
So how much contingency remains after assuming these contract amendments are approved?
Well, it depends on, we have a number of items that we've listed that we'd like to use our contingency for over and above these kinds of things. And a couple of them we need to get approval from the FTA. So we've either got a slightly over $2 million or about $300,000 or $400,000.
After this contract.
After this contract.
Depending on whether or not the FTA approves. And what are the items, I imagine the follow-up question, what are the items on contingency?
The big one is a wheel truing machine. It is one of those strange things that when we put the project together, the FTA was not comfortable with the amount of contingency that we had. So we took the wheel truing machine out of the project and put it to the side, assuming that we could use contingency for it, and we've got adequate contingency to use it, and now the FTA is saying maybe we can't have that money. So it's just kind of the squirrel cage that we get into on some of these things. So that's a big item.
If the Federal Transit Administration approves what you wish to be covered by contingency, and then after these contract amendments, there will be $200,000 to $300,000 left
I think that's right.
No, actually, it'd be $800,000. There's $3.2 million of unallocated contingency.
That's true. Okay.
And there's $2 million is recommended by us to be allocated to the wheel truing machine that we've purchased, And then the $385,000, leaving about $800,000 in the unallocated contingency for the remainder of the project.
And how far along is the project percentage-wise?
99%.
So you said you've already purchased the wheelchairing machine.
Yes.
What happens if the FDA says we can't use the contingency for it?
We have a contingency plan for financing it.
We do.
Was presented to council about a year ago. This is one of those classic items of a 14-month order, lead time for an order. So we waited until the Broadway Bridge was substantially established. That was where we regarded the softest part of our ability to manage the construction budget. Once we made it over the hump with Broadway Bridge and had confidence with regard to its financial consideration, we brought to council the order of the truing machine, which is now in place and is we presented it even as an effective investment for us, even if we leased it. So we presented the option of leasing it if we had to, if the federal government wouldn't approve it.
And so the contract amendments we're approving with LTK today are to bring the six cars up to, I forget what the phrase is, street ready, track ready?
Certified.
Certified, okay.
Yeah, certified for operation, for revenue service. So the big piece of LTK's work is the certification of the car as safe for the public to ride on it. So you absolutely have to have that, and that's obviously an insistence by the city and the council that you have a professional certification that it's met all of the safety requirements needed to operate revenue service.
And so with these amendments, that gets LTK
that assures,
and assures us that this is enough to get those six trains passenger ready, in other words.
That's correct. That's the intent. And You appreciate that things have changed, so we've negotiated with LTK the time necessary to conduct the safety investigation based upon the schedule and the circumstances we have before us today, which is the delivery schedule I just outlined for you. So we'd certainly want to caution that if there is any additional extension of time or circumstances that interrupt the safety inspections or something like that, that we may need to return, but it is an essential part of the safety certification to do a thorough job of completing all of the processes.
Thank you both very much. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? These matters, 1123-24?
No one signed up.
Carla, can you please call the vote on both, starting with 1123?
Fritz?
Thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1124.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Approved.
Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 1125?
Amend the Fire and Police Disability Retirement and Death Benefit Plan so that the plan will retain its tax-qualified status.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Good. What are we looking at here? Well, Commissioner Saltzman.
Go ahead. Introduce yourself, Nancy.
Good afternoon. I'm Nancy Hartline, FPDR Financial Manager. As you know, the FPDR plan is designed to provide retirement and disability benefits to retired and disabled police officers and firefighters. For these benefits to be non-taxable to plan participants prior to their retirement or disability, the plan must be qualified under Section 401A of the Internal Revenue Code. Qualification under 401A requires both that FPDR operations be consistent with the code and that the FPDR plan document, which is Chapter 5 of the City Charter, also be drafted to be consistent with the code. From time to time, Congress and the IRS update the laws and regulations that govern FPDR. To protect its tax-qualified status, the FPDR plan must then be updated for these statutory and regulatory changes, usually prior to deadlines established by Congress and the IRS. Charter Section 5403A permits counsel to incorporate these statutory and regulatory changes via ordinance, but the charter was not timely updated for several of these changes. FPDR recently applied to the IRS to address some operational and documentary compliance issues, and the IRS has approved this retroactive correction of the failure to timely update the charter for required changes. The ordinance before you today is the IRS-approved retroactive amendment that, if adopted, will bring the FPDR plan into form compliance to protect its tax-qualified status. The new plan language is not expected to have any effect on FPDR operations. The changes either simply add to the plan, documenting things that we already do, or it adds language that is no longer needed. For example, Article 1 talks about direct rollovers. The rollovers we have done in the past were done correctly, were consistent with the legal requirements. But now that all active FPDR 2 members are vested, we will not be doing any future rollovers to members, and we haven't done any rollovers to surviving spouses since 2000. So it adds a lot of language to the plan document, but it doesn't affect what we're doing. Does the council have any questions on the change?
Just two questions. This is retroactive to when? How far back are we going?
That's an interesting question. I'm going to ask Ken McGair of the City Attorney's Office to help me answer that question.
For the record, Ken McGair of the City Attorney's Office. It's retroactive to the effective date of whichever piece of legislation added the language. So for some of these, it goes all the way back to 1996, the Small Business Job Protection Act of 1996. Although the IRS usually gives plans throughout the country a period of time to make these amendments, which can range from 4 to 8 years. So they're effective back to the effective date of the legislation.
And assuming we pass this, does this absolve us of any liability that might have occurred by being out of compliance?
Yes, that was part of the voluntary correction program, which was associated with that we sought IRS approval for the overpayment of benefits. That's a separate issue. But in conjunction with that, we asked them to give us a favorable determination letter. As part of that, they said, please make these retroactive amendments that weren't done, and we will issue the determination letter. So it absolves us from an audit that would come in and say you were not in compliance with these particular statutes back in 2004.
So our document will be in compliance.
The document will be in compliance.
And our nonprofit status will be protected.
The tax-qualified status will be protected, yes.
Excuse me, the tax-qualified status. Okay.
Thank you. Anyone wish to testify on this matter? All right, Carla, can you please call the vote on emergency ordinance item number 1125?
Fritz? I know there are many times that my colleagues are glad to have a nurse on the council. I'm very glad to have a lawyer on the council to ask questions like that. And thank you, staff, for your diligence. So to summarize, these changes are necessary because of changes made at the federal level. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back and hear item number item number 1113. I appreciate your patience. I don't think